Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, Pensacola. Craig Heisman filling in for Andrew McKay, Pensacola Morning News. We are now joined, as the song by the B-52s, little known on that Love Shack album that Love Shack was on, the song Debbie, should lead in very well to Debbie Ritchie, who's joining with us from Save UWF. Debbie, how are you doing today?
Hey, good morning. What a lead-in that was.
I had to find your song. I was like, we're going to find a song. And it's like, Debbie, the rock band, I could see it. Truth in advertising and truth in radio right now. Debbie, Richie, and I go back a long time. Debbie actually was my wife's boss, but more than that, she was a friend. She's been a friend for a long, long period of time. And we, as a Democrat, as a former Democratic representative, you and I probably disagree on a lot of political, social issues. Am I right about that, Debbie?
Well, you know, you don't want to start a call that way, but there are times that a good moderate Democrat, I guess, could disagree with a guy with a conservative view. But I bet we agree more than we disagree, Craig.
That is true, and that's what I wanted to say, is that we as, that's one thing I love about Pensacola, is that we can be different and have different opinions and love one another. And I will tell you right now, Debbie Ritchie is one of the greatest. I just love her. Not only was she a great boss, was she a great friend, she's a great community leader. We're going to have Impact 100 on later, which is something that you helped found here in our community. And we can find points of agreement even when we have differing opinions on politics or something else. And one of the things that you and I find agreement on is the University of West Florida. We love our university. Am I right?
Yeah, it's really been something we've seen pull our community together in the last few weeks, is just the love that this community has for the University of West Florida and how it is helping us to bridge a lot of gaps that we'd previously been seeing. It's pretty powerful and long overdue, right, to see something unite the community.
Absolutely. And yesterday, there was a town hall meeting at Studer Community Institute for Save UWF. You might have seen the billboards, the signs around the community, and I've been asked a couple of times, so what's this Save UWF thing? So, Debbie, tell us a little bit about Save UWF, what you're trying to accomplish, and what's going on at the University of West Florida.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I hope your listeners will engage a little bit in this issue. It really started when the governor made the decision to either remove or not reappoint a number of the Board of Trustee members out at the University of West Florida, and made three pretty significant new appointments. Significant in the fact that they don't live in or represent or have a connection or tie to the University of West Florida. There's some pretty controversial comments that have been tied to a number of the board members, and really just a question about shared values and shared commitment for what the University of West Florida has represented to so many in this community for so many years, and a sense that we have the potential to lose a lot of what we've been gaining over the years. And so the Save UWF is really more about that we will lose the heart and soul of what that university has been to us in the way that it has represented the community and the students, and has seen such continuing momentum over the years. So there is, Craig, a website that has been created. This is very grassroots driven by just local community leaders, students out at the University of West Florida, who really wanted our voices to be heard on the issue. And if you have questions, I would really encourage you to go to saveuwf.com, and you'll find a lot of information on that website. Learn more about the appointments I just mentioned, as well as action that you can take.
And there is, so that people understand, the way that appointees work, six are appointed members by the Board of six are by the governor, and then the Board of Governors appoints five of the members. So the governor's picks, this is something that we saw happen down in New College, which was a small college. I think Rick Outson was talking yesterday. He said that was about 600 people, right, at the New College. And so now that same...
Yeah, 600 students.
Yeah, and so now that same policy has been kind of shifted towards our university for what I would say is really no apparent reason. There's no issues at all with the governance of the University of West Florida. In fact, I would tell you through Dr. Judy Bentz, through Dr. Martha Saunders, both of whom I know and I love and I think are doing incredible jobs, we've seen growth and development like none other. And I want to talk a little bit about that with you, Debbie, if you will. But first, we're going to take a break with traffic and some commercials, and we're going to come right back.
All right. Taking a look at your traffic on the fives, I-10, starting to see a minor slowdown in between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. About a 5 to 7 minute delay. I'm not really seeing much. Other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
I want to thank all of our listeners who tune in to our daily Strength for Life segments here in Pensacola and across the country. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your thoughtful feedback. Thank you for humbly letting God strengthen you through the principles of His Word and the power of His Spirit. If you're interested in more Strength for Life, please check out our YouTube channel. Our radio segments are only 60 seconds in length, but our YouTube video segments provide 4 to 5 minute videos of practical Bible content on topics such as overcoming jealousy, how to strengthen your marriage, and much more. Find our YouTube channel by searching Strength for Life Pensacola and be sure to subscribe. We produce fresh video content each week, which is certain to strengthen your walk with God and strengthen your relationship with others.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Get your tickets to Pass a Good Time, New Orleans style, at the Sasebon WSRE Wine and Food Classic on Saturday, March 29th. This year's event will let the good times roll with celebrity chef John Besh and the big easy sounds of Corey LaDay Zydeco on the WSRE Amos Studio stage. Enjoy Creole-inspired cuisine at the Walkabout Tasting and cast a vote for your favorite local chef. Go to WSRE.org/events for tickets and event details.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We are on the line with Debbie Ritchie, and one thing we're not going to get over is the University of West Florida. It is a beacon of light. It is something I am it's my alma mater. It is where my daughter currently goes to school, studying there. It is something that's deeply important to me, and as we start looking at what's going on at the University of West Florida with the appointments that have happened there, and I would say, Debbie, you said there's a few appointments that are problematic. I would say there's probably more than even you guys talked about last night. That I look at and go, man, something's got to change, because especially bringing people in that I don't know that some of these people have ever stepped foot on the campus of the University of West Florida, and I'm not against outside opinion or outside thought, but I certainly don't want non-UWF knowledge, non-Northwest Florida people driving direction for a school that they've never been a part of. And yesterday you were talking, and you gave a great analogy about two frogs on a lily pad, and one had decided that they were going to jump. And you said, so how many frogs are left on the lily pad? And you said two, because deciding is not doing. And that was powerful to me. So tell us what we can do to fight this, because it does seem like in some ways, well, this is kind of done, but it's not over yet, is it?
No, it's not over. And Craig, a couple of things I want to highlight that you focused on. The first is, we kind of started this with a joke about politics, but for your listeners, I believe it was Governor Jeb Bush who really first instituted this idea that local, and by the way, I think it's more than an idea, I think it's represented in statute, that you wanted local representation to serve on your university boards, to be really
Absolutely.
A reflection, whether that's alumni of the university or Florida resident or live, particularly those that live in the area and community leaders, was so important for the growth of the university. And historically, that has come to pass. We've seen that in strong community leadership that has helped make progress with the university year over year over year. So what we encouraged last night, okay, so we have this now dissension about, as you said, not just the three gubernatorial appointments. I think there were questions about the Board of Governors appointees as well. But the three that we mentioned appointed by the governor, certainly the most concerning for us. And it's time that people take action. And there are a lot of political challenges ahead. There are a lot of procedural things that could diminish our chances of seeing this change. These appointments have to be confirmed right now by two Senate committees, the Appropriations Committee for Higher Education and the Senate Ethics and Elections Committee. Right now, there's been some political maneuvering on whether these three members make the confirmation list to be confirmed by the Senate, whether they don't. If they're not on the list, they'll continue to serve until such time as the confirmation, which is concerning in and of itself, that procedurally you can, sort of circumvent what was intended. So a lot of maneuvering. Last night, what we encouraged is that people need to let their voices on this issue be heard. And on the website, I encourage people to take a look, because we give you the information you need. Who do you need to contact? Where can you contact them? We touch on all that. And we also talked about how to do that most effectively.
Yes,
and
which I think is really important.
About the importance. Yeah, really important, to take the time to make this personal. But what I wanted to emphasize the most last night is how critical the why was. And the why represents what's important to you. And you mentioned you have children out at the University of West Florida. Maybe that is your why. The importance of what the university means to what your daughter is looking for in a college experience, which is certainly about academic progress. But I suspect there's more to it than that, that the university serves a need for your daughter, for where she is in her life right now. We heard a very powerful story from a graduate in the engineering program and what it meant for her to be a woman succeeding in that program and now in the workforce. And so, I gave a personal story as a woman, as a mother of two children. My daughter is married to an Air Force, former Air Force pilot who's still in the Air Force Reserves here. What the military and veterans community mean here and how this university serves that population. So maybe that is your why. Maybe it's about what you see in the community and what we need as job growth and the way the university is fulfilling so much need in our community. We have a strong healthcare system here, and we have one of the, if not the, best nursing program of all nursing programs in state universities. And we don't want to see any of that diminished. So those are examples. Make it personal. Make it powerful and impactful. But mostly, make it happen. And I think people can be, you know, really inspired and motivated by it. But you have to take the time to write the letter or make the call.
Right. And you said write it personal, writing it. Actual, not typing it, not email. Writing it, letting them hear your story, letting them see your hand, letting them know that it's important. And here's the thing. The reason I introduced you and I said we might disagree on politics and different things is because we often look at things like this through the lens of, you know, oh, this is just a left thing or this is just a right thing. This is not. And your call to the why is important because, I mean, I'm somebody who supported Ron DeSantis for governor. I'm somebody who supported Ron DeSantis for president. And I'm somebody who says, this is wrong. I don't like this. This is not okay. And I'm going to, so I have with me my cards. I have with me my stationery that I'm going to be writing those handwritten notes. I'll write one to DeSantis. I'll write one to our senators. I'll write one to anyone on that website. That is a decision I've made because, like you said, my why is that I believe the university should be governed by people who understand the university and the world that surrounds that university, not people from completely different locations. I'm behind you. I am behind this. That's why I want to say we don't have to necessarily agree on everything, but we can agree on these things and we can make Pensacola a better place. That is something you have strived to do all of your life, Debbie. You have made this community better. I am so thankful for not only your impact, but with my family, with our community, with Studer, with everything. And I thank you for your time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you to your listeners for going to the website, saveuwf.com. There's tips for contacting your officials, how to make your message more effective. The address is everything you know. So if you've never done it before, don't be intimidated by it. And Craig, thank you so much for the invitation to join you on the call this morning.
That's saveuwf.com. We want you to make sure that you're there, that you're taking action. Get off the lily pad, hop in, and let's protect our university.
Thank you.
All right, let's take a look at your traffic on the fives. Right now, seeing no accidents to let you know about. Looks like I-10's just a minor slowdown between Pine Forest and Highway 29, even through the Highway 29 exit. So just be aware of that. That's about a 7 to 9 minute delay. And let's see here, 98 slowing down just a little bit at the beginning of the end of the Garcon Point Bridge. If you're heading westbound toward the Garcon Point Bridge, just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. Let's head on over to David Wayne in the newsroom.
David, let's go.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. A Dominican Republic judge ruling in favor of an American linked to the disappearance of a University of Pittsburgh student. Sudiksha Kunanki had been missing now for about 2 weeks. She was last seen walking near her hotel there. Reeb had been held in the Dominican Republic since her disappearance and appeared in court Tuesday, asking that he be allowed to return to the United States. Two more suspects facing charges related to an illegal abortion operation in Texas. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton announcing the arrests of two men, 29-year-old Jose Lay and 54-year-old Robildo Matos. Lay worked as a medical assistant. Matos was a nurse practitioner in the state. Of course, Texas passed their abortion ban here last year. And the last of the classified JFK assassination files being made public. The National Archives releasing those files Tuesday at the direction of President Trump, who said Americans have been asking for this for a long time.
Well, yes, and, you know, I expect my memo from you, you know, summarizing the 80,000 pages, because I know that you stayed up waiting on them. I'm still waiting on my summary.
I'm on 60,457 right now.
You
should have it by the end of the shift. Yeah.
All right.
I read one article, it was months. They said it's going to be months before we get to really know what's in that because of how much is in that information.
That's a lot of information.
Man. I can't imagine. But I wait for the next movie to come out because that's the only way I'm gonna dissect it all digest it all.
But that's why I wanted his version, the Cliff Notes version from David.
Who did it and why? Someone tell me. Someone do a murder podcast on it. That would be great.
Oh, now you know a lot of people. Yes. That's going to be their podcasting. You know what I read in this 80,000 page.
It was a bright day in Dallas, Texas, when a shot rang out from where we don't know. But we'll find out on Who Killed JFK.
News. I'm CJ Papa. President Trump calls his chat with his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin, productive.
I think we had a great call. It lasted almost 2 hours. Talked about a lot of things and toward getting it to peace. And we talked about other things also.
The president speaking exclusively on Fox's The Ingram Mangle. Another call set up for today.
President Zelensky has confirmed that he will have contact with President Trump here today, but he responded to Putin's scaled back agreement with disappointment, writing that Putin effectively rejected the proposal for a full ceasefire. Talks are going to continue. U.S. officials heading back to Saudi Arabia on Sunday.
Fox's Alexander Hoff at the White House. Anti-government protesters in the streets of Istanbul, Turkey. The city's mayor rivaled the president, Erdogan, arrested along with about 100 others. It's seen as a crackdown on dissent. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's sunny and 60. Beautiful morning right now in Pensacola. A video that captured a fight over a parking spot on Pensacola Beach last weekend has gone viral. It's now garnered millions of views. At least one of those fight participants is now facing a battery charge. It all started over a spot at Maumee Beach last Sunday.
Beautiful day of the season. It started over a parking spot.
Lieutenant James Barnes from the Escambia Sheriff's Office, he says a woman that's been identified as 18-year-old Victoria Posey was standing in a parking space and ended up getting into an argument and a fight with another woman that wanted to park there. Posey was seen on video hitting the other woman. Investigators are still working to identify several other people who were in that video and appeared to be getting involved in the fight. Escambia County officials say there's a lot of good things happening on Pensacola Beach this year. Beautification projects are ongoing at the entrance to the beach where the old toll booth is going to be torn down.
We're also doing a study, traffic management, traffic congestion coming in onto the beach, and possibly studying a parking garage there at Pensacola Beach and Casino Beach parking lot. So there's a lot of big things going on at the beach and a lot of good things going on at the beach.
That is County Administrator Wes Moreno. Another big change this year involves public safety. Moreno says an ambulance will now be stationed at the beach full time, and it'll stay there all summer. And even if a paramedic isn't available, the ambulance will be on hand and staffed with EMTs and supplemented by the beach fire medic. Results are in from Century's special primary yesterday for their District 4 Town Council seat. North Escambia reporting John Bass was elected with more than 50% of the vote. Bass was running against Catherine Fleming and Sparky Harrison. He reportedly, again, got more than 50% of the vote. For their vacant mayoral seat, only one candidate qualified, and that was former Mayor Ben Boutwell. He was automatically elected, and that contest was not listed on the ballot. Both Boutwell and Bass will be sworn into their respective offices in May. A teenager from Mississippi has died after a drowning incident that happened on a beach on Fort Pickens Road. Channel 3 reports lifeguards recovered 17-year-old Demetrius Moore from the water. He's since died. Family members told media in Mississippi that the teen was on spring break with some friends. Two NASA astronauts back on Earth after their 9-month stay on the International Space Station, Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore. They splashed down yesterday in the Gulf of America near Tallahassee.
I know they're going to fly back here tonight. They'll probably spend some time rehabilitating a little bit and the docs watching them, and then they'll rejoin their families in the next day or so.
That's NASA spokesperson Steve Stitch. The two astronauts had been in space way longer than originally planned. Their Boeing Starliner capsule returned to Earth without them due to a helium leak. They were brought back on a SpaceX capsule, along with NASA Commander Nick Hague and Russian cosmonaut Alexander Gorbunov. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Get your yard spring ready with $100 off your first treatment with the new annual contract. Call Insect today. Got one accident that just appeared on Nine Mile Road and Copter Road. The eastbound lane is blocked. That literally just happened. It's a vehicle crash with roadblock. Again, that's on Nine Mile Road and Copter Road. So just be aware of that one. Starting to see some delays there. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, even through the Highway 29 exit, is starting to see about a 10 to 12 minute congestion delay through that construction. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today with temperatures near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, we'll start to see some rain building in. A few light showers possible through the overnight hours, low near 54. Showers coming to an end by about 4 a.m. on Thursday. And then by Thursday afternoon, high near 65 with sunny skies. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 42. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 60 in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze. 50 reported in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. President Trump still intends for new reciprocal tariffs to take effect 2 weeks from today. That's according to an unnamed White House official who clarified comments from Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent that indicated there could be a delay in Trump's tariff matching plan. The official said any negotiations with countries looking to avoid tariffs must be completed by April 2nd. A chip maker may be the one fielding your next order for chips and guac. The parent company of Taco Bell, KFC, and Pizza Hut is teaming up with NVIDIA to accelerate the use of AI in its restaurants. Yum Brands says the collaboration will allow its fast food chains to employ AI-powered order taking. Yum is expected to launch the new tech in more than 500 restaurants by the summer. We'll hear from Chair Jerome Powell later today after the Fed's decision on interest rates. Investors expect rates to be held steady at 4.25% to 4.5%. That's your money now.
Guys, ever had a bad experience in the bedroom that totally threw you off? It messes with your head, your confidence, and suddenly it's all you can think about. Next thing you know, you're avoiding trying altogether because the fear of failure is just too much. That's where Wave Men's Health comes in. Their providers have been helping men overcome ED and providing hope even when the pills and other treatments have failed. Their proven personalized treatments have some of the highest success rates out there. No awkwardness, no judgment, just real results that bring back your confidence and that connection. It's important to get your ED treated quickly so that it doesn't get harder to treat down the road. Wave Men's Health has treatments that online pharmacies only dream about. Tonight is your night for intimacy and connection. Call Wave Men's Health today at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Your consultation is discreet and could be the start of something incredible. 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. And let's make tonight unforgettable. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
At Pennair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pennair Credit Union. Because at Pennair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pennair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pennair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
So glad Andrew found this intro for our next guest. My name is Craig Hines, been filling in for Andrew McKay, Pensacola Morning News. And we are joined, as we are every Wednesday, by the mayor of Pensacola, Florida, D.C. Reeves. Mayor Reeves, glad to have you on board.
Good. Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. So you had an exciting press conference yesterday talking through soccer in Pensacola. Tell us a little bit about what we've got coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an exciting day. We really, you know, another symbol of kind of the growing demand of our community and our region and the word kind of getting out. The United Soccer League, which, you know, if you follow soccer at all in the United States, you're certainly aware of. And even if you don't, you might have heard of MLS, Major League Soccer, which, of course, is in, you know, major media markets. But this league's been around for almost 40 years. This is not a new startup, you know, entrepreneurial type thing. They've been around a long time, and they've had exponential growth since 2012. And so they reached out to us about a year ago. We had some conversations, and then we kind of rekindled those in March. And we had a meeting with their staff and our staff, and then I went down to Tampa where their national headquarters is and met with them for a couple hours. Kind of going through what details would be. And ultimately what we have in front of us now is the league has committed its time, its money. The city has not committed any money. This is all we've signed with them is an agreement that basically says they're not going to spend all their time and money on this project. And then we're going to take it and give it to someone else, which is understandable. I think we could all.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But they've committed to spend about $200,000 at least. For architecture, for, again, the bandwidth of their team and time, resources, studies, see not only would a USL one team fit here, but would where would a potential stadium go? They're looking at a downtown stadium, they're not looking necessarily to be playing out at Brosnahan or somewhere outside of town. A big part of their model that has been very successful is going into these markets of 100,000 to 700,000 MSA, like we are, and building kind of a downtown entertainment and stadium venue. So I know there'll be lots of questions. where's the stadium going to go? Who's going to own the team? All of that. We're probably several layers from
a little early for all those, right?
Yet. Yeah, but I get it. I mean, I'm a sports fan too, you know, so I know I'll be asked that a lot over the next several months, but that's exactly what the study's about. So it could take up to a year. But, you know, at the end of the day, the way I see it is someone's willing to put up their hard-earned money and their time and their bandwidth because they believe in this community. And I think that's probably the biggest takeaway for me and the biggest compliment for us as a city is that, you know, here's a league that knows what they're doing with great credibility that says, hey, we want to be part of Pensacola.
Oh, absolutely. And you look at South Georgia, they have Richmond Kickers, Naples, Florida, I think, Knoxville, Greenville, South Carolina, yep. Bunch of great locations that would be in the same league with us. And like you said, it's all in the planning stages at this moment in time. We don't have anything on paper, but it's nice to see that people are looking to Pensacola for their future in many ways. I know that you announced the REI that's coming in down there in the old P&J building. I know that's under construction right now. So some more new growth happening in downtown Pensacola. When do they expect that to be opened up? Do you know?
Yeah. Well, the Happening Outfitters right there on the corner of Halifax and Garden. But another good symbol, it's national retail. As we know, you know, my running joke at a Rotary Club always is we're trying to do all these generational things, you know, from Mecca Magic to Baptist Hospital, just a million different things. But my my administration may be judged on whether we end up with a Trader Joe's or not.
Yeah, well, that's very true. That's 100% true. My wife wants a Trader Joe's so bad it hurts.
Yeah. It's like a pass-fail grade, you know, for your administration, whether a Trader Joe's shows up. The point is, having the national retail coming in, I mean, these are brands and organizations that run metrics and say, you know, how many visitors, what's the resident profile, how many people are coming downtown into these locations. So we're hearing more and more stories of that. Some I can tell you, some I can't, but we really have seen in the last, really 18 months, 24 months, we start to see, some attention from the national brands. And then of course, hotels downtown, continue to be in full swing. The Hotel Tristan, right there on Garden and Jefferson, or closer behind Union Public House and Garden and Jefferson, is underway. Just had a phone call with the folks building the 220 key hotel on the old side of New World Landing. That is continues as a go. They're waiting on some environmental stuff, but that's it. And they're going to get going. So, more hotel rooms downtown, obviously the Hard Rock Reverb project on Maritime Park, you've probably heard about. Lots of great momentum for us, whether it be soccer, whether it be national retail, hotels, and all that. People are starting to really see the amazing things that we have here in Pensacola.
Absolutely. And you guys have done a great job at showcasing that across the nation, bringing in some folks to make that change happen. And I want to get with, I want to talk just about the Reverb Hotel and that project here in just a second. First, let's get to traffic on the fives.
Just one accident to let you know about. If you're traveling on East 9 Mile Road, right around Copter Road, the eastbound lane is blocked due to an accident that happened. I-10 between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing some delays through that construction zone, about a 10-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. It's getting back with Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mayor, we were talking through that Reverb Hotel, that Hard Rock Hotel. If you've seen the pictures, I know you have, but if our listeners have seen the pictures, this is not a small hotel. This is a large scale, I think, a hotel/apartment complexes, entertainment space. Looks like right in front of the stadium itself. I believe it's on that parcel of land. Is that where the parking lot currently stands, or where exactly on the parcel of land is that?
Yeah, good question, because that's one of the big misperceptions. You know, there's when there's been social media critique, it says, oh, well, what are we going to do about parking? Parcel 5 is actually the grass triangle that's directly behind home plate, so south of the parking lot and north of the front entrance to the stadium. There's just sidewalks and grass there now. That project will be self-parking, meaning the assumption that this project's been going, which means that's going to take all the parking for Parcel 4, we can't even allow that contractually. So that's not even in play. So that's why there's going to be parking going underneath these buildings. But Hard Rock Reverb, I met with the CEO of the hotel side of Hard Rock, came to the office last week. I had a great conversation. They've done some really amazing work. We're going to be one of the first few, Hard Rock Reverb products in the United States. They've been doing several significant projects around the world. And it's certainly exciting to see. And the apartment side, condo side, will have market rate, but it'll also have affordable. And it's using the Live Local Act from the state legislature. That's allowing them to go a little bit taller and have some of those concessions that they have allowed at the state level if you're going to build a certain number or a certain percentage of your project as affordable housing. So there'll be market rate units as well as your workforce priced units in that building. So certainly excited for that. It's a big project.
That's a massive project.
Still, probably in earlier stages than the Tristan and the Hilton at New World that I just mentioned. Those are a little further along, we're probably talking about $150-200 million project at the end of the day. So we continue to move that forward, and we'll see how everything plays out.
As we continue with these things and we see all this growth happening in the downtown area, obviously it changes the landscape of the community itself. And it brings, I remember walking the streets back when Quint was first proposing to build the stadium and trying to get in signatures on petitions for that. And some of the obviously some of the problem is people are going to be like, well, you know, I just don't want Pensacola to change too much. I don't want it to be. And we love Pensacola. We were talking a little bit with Debbie Ritchie about what's going on at University of West Florida a little bit earlier. But for those people that are out there going, you know, I like the Pensacola that we know and love. You know, I talk to those people for just a second, if you would, and help them understand why we're seeing, because it's a massive building. When you look at it in comparison, it's this huge, and it's a super fancy this hotel, the Reverb property, high end, nice looking hotel, but it's a large piece of land, lot of housing going in there. How does that help us as a city as we continue to move forward and grow?
Yeah. So, you know, a couple of things. Number one, what we have to understand, and it cues into this debate about elimination of property taxes. Property taxes is 35% of our budget to pay our police, to pay our fire. We only get, this is the biggest, probably the biggest tax misunderstanding in our county for all the listeners out there. And I think I've mentioned this on the radio before. They think that if you spend money downtown, that money stays in the city. The city of Pensacola's tax revenue from local option sales tax is split by based on the population of the county, period. So whether you buy something downtown, you buy it on the beach, or buy it on 9 Mile Road, it all goes into the same pot, and we only get 1/6 or 1/7 of that. So when a Mardi Gras parade comes downtown, 85% of that LOSC is going to the county, and 15% of it is going to the city, no matter where it's spent. Same at the beach, during Blue Angels, same formula. So I say that to say that's why property tax is so important, and it's our largest tax, our largest generator of revenue. And you know, if we were to consider eliminating property tax in a state that doesn't have state income tax either, then what you're basically, to me, is to defund the police 2.0. I mean, that's basically what we'd be suggesting, because that is how we fund police and fire. I mean,
right.
Period. So to your question is, we have to continue to have smart growth. And the only reason I moved back here in 2015, I'm born and raised here, I love this community. The reason I moved back when I moved back here in 2015 is because I saw, as a 30-year-old, the vibrancy of the community had changed significantly. And I'm just telling you, as someone who grew up and went to elementary school, high school there, I did not plan on coming back. And so there are other factors in play when you have more housing, which we all agree our citywide strategic plan suggested is the by far number one issue that we have. So if we can create housing, we can create a larger property tax base that allows us to have more police officers, more fire, more infrastructure money. I think those are all good things. And the assumption isn't zero or 100. You know, sometimes people are like, I don't want anything to grow, or if anything gets built, it must be bad. You know, it's about smart growth. Absolutely. It is not the presumption that we just want anybody to build anything no matter what. We don't care if it fits. Doesn't really apply. And in particularly in this case, I reiterate, if you read Senate Bill 102 from the state legislature, whether, let's say somebody has an issue with the height of the building, that is out of our hands. That is allowed, and we are preempted by the state on Live Local for it to go that height. That was not a sign off by me or our council or any of that. Now, I'm not saying I'm criticizing it. I just mean that's the reality. The height issue is kind of a moot point, because it's what the state legislature allowed, because we're in such a need for housing. And they're saying, hey, let's try to relinquish as much regulation as possible so we can get housing up today. So philosophically, I totally understand where they are. But we just have to always be smart about growth. How can we improve our tax base? How can we provide housing at every income level, from homeless transitional to market rate? And, you know, I think these projects that we're talking about help check the boxes of that, and supporting our local small businesses and continuing to grow our city in a smart way. And you know, it's not like, hey, you know, I used to be able to park for free here. And I said, well, yeah, we used to have one restaurant.
Right. Yes. That closed at 5.
I mean, so which one do you want? You know, I mean, and I think creating a lot of jobs, and I think having a lot of vibrancy and a cool downtown. Yeah, there's going to be some collateral damage to that. That's different than when it was in 2007 when I moved back here from college. I mean, it just is. And so I totally understand. Some people like it the way it is, and they certainly have the right to do that. But don't, just because things are changing doesn't mean that we don't have eyes and understand the entire picture of what we want this community to be.
Sure.
We want it to be a safe community. We want there to be job opportunity. And we one thing we can all agree on is we all want our kids and grandkids to move home. That's what we want. And and I'm just telling you, as a product of someone who never thought they were going to do that, we have to continue to advance our community forward if we want to have that opportunity.
Well, and having done that, I mean, again, what's interesting is you see the massive change that's happened in the downtown Pensacola area over the last few years, and you've been, definitely been a part of that lead in making those changes, and obviously Grover Robertson before you, and there are many that have led Pensacola from what it was. And those of us that have been here for a long period of time, we remember what 2000 downtown Pensacola was like at 5 o'clock at night. It was closed and scary. And now when you go down there, it's a completely different place. So kudos to you and to the city for what you guys have been doing, continuing to see that growth happen. And I believe stuff like this Reverb Hotel and these kind of developments might actually mean a Trader Joe's is in our future, and we don't have to drive to Tallahassee anymore. So for those of you that that are, you know, hating on the growth, that might bring you a Trader Joe's eventually. So, you know, there you go.
That's right. That's right. And I mean, I think at the end of the day, what we all want is a thriving community that's safe and where we want to live. And what 10 years ago, kids didn't want to come back. Now our biggest problem is trying to find job opportunities because the kids do want to come back.
That's right. You know? That's right.
So that's what we're focused on now, is trying to provide those job opportunities and that vibrancy that our young people want, and to continue to grow our workforce and get our families back here.
Well, I love it. And that, from American Magic, everything else, there's so many things that we could talk about that are going well in Pensacola. Thank you, Mayor Reeves, for joining us today, and thank you for all that you're doing.
All right. Hey, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's take a break. Let's get to the commercials.
And let's do traffic on
traffic
the fives
too, that
first.
Too, yeah,
that's
that
fine,
first.
Yeah. If you're traveling on East Nine Mile Road right around Copter Road, you're going to see a vehicle crash with a roadblock, and they're still saying first responders are on the scene, but the eastbound lane is totally blocked there. So just be aware of that. Traveling on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, I'm starting to see a delay there, about 12 to 15 minutes due to construction and congestion. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Darrell Sewing of Pensacola is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of machines, plus a large selection of furniture, craft supplies, and fabrics. Coming up March 28th and 29th, you'll find Darrell's at the Pensacola Quilts 2025 Quilt Show at the Pensacola Fairgrounds, sponsored by the Pensacola Quilters Guild. Darrell's of Pensacola, 6705 North Davis Highway, between Creighton and Burgess, 850-438-5444. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
If you've got a business, you've got employees. At least if it's growing, you do. And dealing with employees is great, but you also want to make sure that you don't have to frustrate yourself with the headaches of business ownership, like payroll, like human resources, like dental insurance, vision, life, disability, health, all of that stuff. And look, if me talking about that stuff is like, for you, you just gets you nervous and upset and you don't want to think about it and your eye twitches, like, I'm sorry, but that means you should do something different. And if it doesn't, if you're super happy, then great, ignore me for a second. But if there are issues, or maybe you just want to find out if there's a better way to do it, call Torgerson Causey. They're a locally owned and operated comprehensive employee benefits agency. We've been using them here at News Radio in Cat Country for about 7 years now, and they made a tremendous improvement for me and my family over what we had before. Better customer service, better answers, choices in plans that we didn't have before. All around, they're fantastic. No obligation to have them look at what you're doing. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Jordan B. Peterson, We Who Wrestle With God Tour.
If you say the truth and nothing else, you'll have an immense adventure as a consequence. You won't know what's going to happen to you, but the truth will reveal the world the way it's intended to be revealed, and the consequence for you will be that you'll have the adventure of...